24th, it'll be the premier gathering of conservatives and celebrity conservative speakers in the good old USA. Hundreds of attendees are expected to this star-studded event, and I'll be there speaking and leading panel discussions about the critical issues facing America. Conservatives like you will get the tools, training, education, and motivation to help you lead the battle and successfully impact the direction of America. Join me, Wayne Allyn-Root, and my friends like former presidential candidate Herman Cain, U.S. Senate candidate Sheriff Joe Arpaio, TV and movie star Jack Scalia, James O'Keefe, Trevor Loudon, and many more conservative celebrities and conservative congressmen. Register now at westernconservative.org. That's westernconservative.org. March 23rd and 24th at the Phoenix Convention Center. From the opening speakers to the gala reception, this is a must-attend for every conservative. Go to westernconservative.org now. That's westernconservative.org.
A former dean at Michigan State University is facing charges stemming from the Larry Nassar investigation. Nassar was convicted of sexually assaulting scores of women athletes. William Strample used to be Nassar's boss. WLNS-TV's Norm Stanglin.
Strample has been charged with allegedly inappropriately touching a student and also storing nude photos of female students on his work computer. He's facing four charges, will be in court this afternoon for his arraignment.
While Russian President Vladimir Putin claimed criminal negligence caused the deaths of 64 people, including 41 children, in a fire at a Siberian mall, protesters scrutinized the president and other officials for breaches in the building's safety regulations. On Tuesday, thousands of people rallied outside of the mall's remains to call for those responsible to step down. This is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Apple is suggesting a new group of emojis to represent people with disabilities. Here's USA's Chris Barnes with the story.
Apple says it has come up with proposed new icons developed through working with major advocacy groups for the disabled. In the company's recent submission to the body that controls emojis, it says the new ones would help fill a gap and provide a more inclusive experience. Among the new possible emojis, ones with hearing aids and wheelchairs, canes, and some using sign language. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The 17-year-old boy who shot and killed one student and injured another at a Maryland high school last week died after shooting himself in the head. Austin Wyatt Rollins parked his car at the entrance of Great Mills High School in Southern Maryland. 7 minutes later, he shot Jalen Wiley, 16, in the head with his father's 9mm pistol. Investigators say the bullet also struck Desmond Barnes, 14, in the leg. Then Rollins was confronted by school resource officer Blaine Gaskill, and both of their weapons went off simultaneously. Gaskill shot Rollins in the hand. He then turned the gun on himself. Rollins died later that morning. Jalen was declared brain dead, and her family took her off life support. A visitation and prayer service for Jalen is scheduled for Thursday at the Hollywood Volunteer Fire Department in Maryland. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and American-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! Lots of good stuff to talk about today. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's up today, Josh?
Well, if it isn't Mother Russia giving us a hard time, it's Mother Nature. The Cold War is not over. Just ask anyone who had to dig out of yet another snowstorm this week. For those of you listening on Jet Radio and Erie, PA, stay strong and seek the high ground this spring.
Thanks, Josh. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby looks rather pleased with himself. We'll hear from him as he shares warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking strong and military, much better than last week. You healed a bunch, Skip?
Yeah, my back is doing better, and I think a lot of it has to do with the sunshine.
Isn't it amazing what that can do?
Changes your attitude. You can feel the warmth coming back into your bones after like 3 months of sub-zero temperatures.
I got a text today from a friend in North Carolina saying it was snowing, and I responded, blue skies and sunshine here in Michigan.
Not often we get to do that.
Not often. Troops, remember to watch the movie of the month. It's called Admissions USA. It's about dealing with enemies and getting into heaven, an interesting twist. It will make you think. Look at the blog on frontlinesoffreedom.com for the link so you can watch it for free. We'll be reviewing it on next week's show. Here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to discuss the Russian problem. It's bigger than you think. Veteran Shannon Ho works for Concerned Veterans for America. And we'll discuss the VA and how the fix is coming. Then we're going to meet retired naval officer and attorney John Wells. He created and runs the Military Veterans Advocacy. He's also the guy who refused to receive an award at the Tampa Bay Bucks New Orleans Saints football game because the NFL permits taking a knee at football games. I love this guy. And Frontlines of Freedom contributor Faye Green will share about veteran service organizations. Those are groups like the American Legion and DAV.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We do welcome your comments to this show. Please do send your ideas and comments either through the website or on Facebook. Now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. Lead out, Josh.
VA Secretary Dr. David Shulkin, already embroiled in controversy over his travel expenses and locked in a feud with Trump administration political appointees, now has another problem that could cost him his job: shopping binges. The Office of VA Inspector General Michael Massal has been asked to investigate a complaint from a member of Shulkin's round-the-clock security detail that he had to accompany Shulkin on a shopping trip to Home Depot and later lug the furniture Shulkin bought into his home, as reported by the Associated Press. Shulkin's office did not immediately respond to the shopping charge, but the AP and other news outlets reported that the White House was feeling out former Republican Governor of Texas and current Energy Secretary Rick Perry to take over for Shulkin at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Last month, the VA's Inspector General issued a critical report charging that Shulkin wrongly charged the VA for his wife's $4,132 airfare for a trip to Denmark and London last July, and also accepted free tickets to the Wimbledon tennis tournament. It was also claimed that Shulkin used an aide as his personal concierge during the trip. Shulkin at first denied the charges, but later accepted responsibility and agreed to reimburse the government. Then earlier this month, the IG issued another damning report, charging that serious leadership failures resulted in conditions at the Washington, D.C. Medical Center, a flagship hospital in the VA system, that put patients at risk. In the midst of the controversies, Shulkin has complained that he is the victim of subversion from within the VA and at the White House, organized by Trump administration political appointees who see him as an obstacle to expansion of the Choice Program, allowing veterans to opt for private health care. Shulkin has insisted that he still has the support of Trump, and so far, the White House has backed him in public. Major veteran service organizations have also expressed their support, but those Shulkin has accused of undermining him remain in place at the VA and the White House, and reform of the Choice Program was still bogged down in Congress. In a bid to show he was in control and committed to revamping the VA, last week, Shulkin announced a top-to-bottom management overhaul of the agency, beginning with the ouster of three regional directors in charge of hospitals and clinics in 12 states serving 3 million veterans. Referring to the entire VA healthcare system of 170 hospitals and more than 1,100 clinics, at a news conference, Shulkin said, "We can do better, and we have to do better. It is time for this organization to do business differently."
Secretary Shulkin is a fine man doing a very good job, but the major problem with the VA is corruption and not enforcing standards. If he's dropped the ball in those areas, it might be time for him to go. I hope he didn't drop the ball.
The commander of U.S. Central Command said that the Syrian regime of President Bashar al-Assad, with the backing of Russia and Iran, has essentially won the seven-year-old civil war that has killed more than 400,000, forced millions to flee, and spread sectarian strife throughout the region. U.S. policy has been that Assad must step down or be ousted, but from the civil war standpoint, it would appear that the regime is ascendant here, according to U.S. Army General Joseph Votel. The general said that Russia and Iran have served as key enablers to allow regime forces to defeat a range of rebel groups, including those backed by the U.S., and only pockets of resistance remain. At a Senate Armed Services Committee hearing, Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican from South Carolina, asked, "Is it too strong a statement that, with Russia and Iran's help, Assad has won the civil war in Syria?" Votel responded, "I don't think that is too strong of a statement. I think they have provided him with the wherewithal to be ascendant at this point." When the general was asked if it is still U.S. policy that Assad must go, Votel said, quote, "I don't know that that's our particular policy at this particular point," end quote. Votel made it clear that in the long term, Assad's victory in Syria will leave the U.S. to contend with increased threats to Israel and Jordan from Iran's support of Hezbollah forces in Lebanon. Votel testified with Marine General Thomas Waldhauser, commander of U.S. Africa Command, on the challenges both face, Votel in the Mideast and Afghanistan, and Waldhauser on the entire African continent.
"Yes, we lost the war in Syria because we never really tried to win it. We just puttered here and there for many years. We shouldn't get involved in wars we don't plan to do what is necessary to win. Now Iran will be able to easily transport weapons to terrorists who want to kill all the Jews. This is very bad news for Israel."
Turkey renewed threats to attack a town in northeastern Syria where a small contingent of U.S. troops are based, raising the stunning possibility of a clash between NATO allies. Turkish President Erdogan said his forces and allied Free Syrian Army militias would press on with attacks against several northeastern Syria towns held by the U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces, quote, "until we completely abolish this terrorist corridor," end quote, as the Turks consider all Kurds as terrorists. Erdogan spoke after his troops captured the border town of Afrin, which had been held by some Kurdish fighters. He said in his speech, quote, "many of the terrorists had turned tail and run away already. In Afrin's center, it is no longer the rags of the terror organization that are waving, but rather the symbols of peace and security," end quote. Monitoring groups charged that hundreds of civilians were killed and tens of thousands of refugees fled in the taking of Afrin, in what Turkey is calling Operation Olive Branch.
The Kurds have long wanted to be an independent nation and to break away from Turkey, and some Kurds have attacked Turks in Turkey, so the Turks consider all Kurds to be terrorists to be killed. Add this to the fact that Turkey is now a radical Islamist state, and we have a real problem here. And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk about the VA with Shannon Ho. At ease, troops, take a break. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. A man in Florida thought it was a good idea to show his pistol to a friend while inside his church. He fired the gun without intending to, and both he and his wife were taken to the hospital with wounds to the hand and the stomach. Sometimes people think carrying a gun is a cool novelty, but guard against this temptation. Only draw your firearm when you need to for self-defense. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
Ike was such a sweet, lovable animal, and people would want to pet him, and they'd come up, and they'd get close to him, and it would be this instant, oh! My dad didn't want to touch him. It's like, ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Even after we'd give her a bath, she would still stink.
Very stinky, both bad breath and bad gas.
I asked the vet, and he said, some dogs are just stinky.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E .com.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The ingredients convinced me that it was definitely worth trying. After about a week, he started smelling normal. My husband and I were really kind of astonished.
Dynavite is nutrition.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE .com.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to Frontlines of Freedom all across America. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you can continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. As Britain expelled 23 Russian diplomats over the nerve agent poisoning of a Russian ex-spy, British Prime Minister Theresa May condemned Russia for the unlawful use of force in the recent poisoning of Sergei Skripal, 66, and his daughter Yulia, 33, in England. Now the rest of the West must confront President Putin on Russia's use of murder. This incident echoes the infamous 2006 poisoning of another former spy living in Britain, Alexander Lavrenko. Russian state assassinations are not limited to Britain either. This says nothing of the fate of Putin's opponents inside Russia. Russia's campaign against Putin's foes is a particular problem for the UK, where many of the president's allies prefer to hide their money and where expatriates once believed they could live without fear of Russian assassins. It's said that the U.S. intelligence agencies have identified 14 murders in the UK linked to Russia. In each case, the U.S. spy agencies provided the British with intelligence implicating Russia, but the official investigations never went there. Some were ruled suicides. In other cases, the public reckoning was slow and watered down. The British inquiry into one killing took 10 years. In the end, Interpol notices were issued against two FSB agents, but not the former head of that agency, who was implicated in the final report. This fits the larger pattern. We historically have always accepted their absurd explanations. We basically approve of the Russian efforts by doing nothing. However, the Skripal incident could be a turning point. Already politicians in the UK are pointing the finger at Moscow. But doing something is easier said than done. We can't respond to a Russian state-sponsored murder in kind, nor should we have meddled in their recently rigged presidential election as payback for Russian hacks in 2016. The West's response to Russia should be focused on its strength, the power to exclude and isolate. This starts with naming and shaming. British authorities must boldly investigate the attempted murder of Skripal. They should also reopen those closed cases. Basically, we need to be calling Russia out publicly, mincing no words, and clearly stating the Kremlin is responsible, if that's where the facts lead. And our intelligence agencies should begin declassifying some of the intelligence it has that links Putin to these overseas killings. Apparently, our evidence in this respect is damning. And while it's true that President Trump has embraced Putin and congratulated him on his re-election, our government has been very tough with Moscow. If we sell anti-tank missiles to Ukraine, we'll likely publicize Russian assassinations. Naming and shaming Russian killers is important for two reasons. It attacks a key Russian objective of foreign policy to be recognized and respected as a great power. Disclosing intercepts, documents, and other evidence of Russian criminality exposes it as a sponsor of terror. More important, it makes Russia more toxic for banks and corporations. Russia will always have its gas and oil, but those resources will carry reputational risks for future financial partners. Next, the West should either reform Interpol, which has coordinated international police efforts since 1923. Russia is a serial abuser of the system, which is supposed to share information on wanted criminals across jurisdictions for the purpose of extradition. Russia uses Interpol to harass its political opponents. This requires two steps. First, Western countries must demand of Interpol that it must create a separate tier for Russia and others who abuse the system, where they must provide a higher burden of proof. And second, it should be issuing more international arrest warrants for Russian officials implicated in assassinations abroad. So, Russia would find itself an outlaw state like Iran. To this day, Argentina's investigation into Iran's role in the 1994 suicide bombing of a Jewish cultural center in Buenos Aires has dogged senior Iranian officials, and that's what we need to do. Now the final phase. UK Prime Minister Theresa May and other European leaders must inform Putin of the consequences his nation will face if it continues its assassinations on European soil. This should include designating Russia a state sponsor of terrorism. Already, Russia provides a significant military support to another state sponsor of terror, Syria. The case for designation is stronger than the Russians may realize. The final lever would be removing Russian banks from the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication, or SWIFT, which allows banks worldwide to share information on transactions. This step would be a double-edged sword. It would throw the Russian economy into a tailspin, but would also deprive the U.S. and its allies as a way to monitor Russian finances. That said, it's precisely the kind of economic disruption that may deter Putin. All of this carries risk. May herself will be unlikely to crack down on Russians who have used London as a safe haven for their ill-gotten cash, particularly at a moment when her government must negotiate its exit from the European Union. That said, Russia has to date interpreted British willful thinking and willful blindness as an invitation to more mayhem. It's time to change the game and let Putin know that if Russia continues to sponsor terror, it will be treated like the terrorist state it is. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. We now get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have today, Roland?
Well, Colonel, I'd like to announce that a good friend of the show and past co-host, Lieutenant Colonel Steve Kenyon, has been appointed as a U.S. Army Reserve Ambassador by the Chief of the Army Reserve, Lieutenant General Charles Lucky. The Colonel has been on Frontlines of Freedom many times over the past few years as both a guest and even a co-host. Lieutenant Colonel Steve Kenyon retired from the Army Reserve after 30 years of service and multiple mobilizations. His duty took him throughout the United States, Europe, Japan, and even Honduras. Steve also served with Colonel Gillum and myself on the Committee for Employer Support of Guard and Reserve, which is part of the Department of Defense. Now, if you're like me, you probably don't know what an Army Reserve Ambassador is or even what they do. So guess what? I jumped on Google to find out. The Army Reserve Ambassador Program began in April 1998. Its main objective is to promote awareness of the Army Reserve and its goals. The Chief of Army Reserve must appoint ambassadors from a list of nominations which are submitted by Regional Support Command and General Office Commanders. An ambassador acts as a liaison between the Army and the local community. Army ambassadors are usually permanent members of the community that they serve in, and their main purpose is to educate others about the Army and its mission. Citizens of each city may come to know ambassadors as a point of reference and may come to view them as someone they know and trust. As part of their duties, ambassadors address questions and concerns about the military. They're also there to garner support for the community members who enlist in the military. Since many reserve unit leaders tend to be from outside the local community, one of the roles of an Army ambassador is to develop relationships with community leaders. This includes leaders at the municipal, state, and national levels. The ambassador strives to convince leaders of the importance of military service. Government officials, including congressmen, mayors, governors, are just some of the individuals an ambassador may try to influence. Business leaders and owners, as well as the general public, are also targets. For example, Army ambassadors typically work with veteran service organizations and employer partnership programs, which help soldiers transition back into civilian life. In an effort to effectively execute those responsibilities, Army Reserve ambassadors carry a protocol status which is equivalent to Major General. Many Army ambassadors have had full careers in the Army, and being an ambassador affords them the opportunity to not only show their gratitude for that great career, but to stay in touch with and occasionally help America's soldiers. So, a big Frontlines of Freedom salute to our friend, Lieutenant Colonel Steve Kenyon. He'll do an excellent job as a U.S. Army Reserve ambassador. Back to you, Colonel.
Thank you, Roland. I really appreciate you. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the VA with Shannon Ho from Concerned Veterans for America. Then we'll meet Navy vet and attorney John Wells to discuss the military veterans advocacy. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You are standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, we're doing pull-ups. Let's do 25 now, then stand at ease.
Mike Hewitt here. After referencing our U.S. Constitution in a founder's quote, I was labeled far right. Maybe that's true. To me, however, our Constitution isn't political whatsoever. Indeed, it's the single instrument holding back the crushing power of government. Naive? Maybe. But if so, we're in serious peril. If our Constitution is no more than an inconvenience, no more than far-right hype, alarms should be blaring all across our Union of States and across the political spectrum. If our Constitution or any part therein can be set aside for any reason or misused to shelter a few over the many, what remains? What's left to limit the otherwise unchecked power of government? Our Constitution protects us all, left and right. It limits our government, and in doing so, it frees us. Do you know who's teaching your children these foundational facts? Get beyond the obvious at themikehewittshow.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. federal authorities are investigating suspicious packages sent to military installations near the nation's capital. The first package was received yesterday at the National Defense University at Fort McNair in Washington. One of the packages did contain explosive material, including black powder and a fuse, but it didn't explode. Packages were also reported at a number of other bases. Two more lawyers have declined to join President Trump's legal team to represent him in Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. Dan Webb and Tom Buchanan released a statement confirming that President Trump reached out asking them to represent him in the Russia probe. They are citing conflict of interests as reasons why they can't join the president's team. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
The New York Times number one seller, Portraits of Courage by former President George W. Bush, is a vibrant collection of oil paintings and stories that honor the sacrifice and courage of America's military veterans. Available in a standard hardback edition, as well as a deluxe boxed edition signed by President Bush himself. Go to patriotdepot.com/portraitsofcourage to get yours today. Use coupon code USARadio to save 10% off your entire order.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's a pleasure to welcome to the show Shannon Ho. She served our nation in the military, the Navy, and then served her community as a mayor. And now she works for a group I fully support, Concerned Veterans for America. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Shannon, or should I say welcome aboard.
Thank you. I appreciate the welcome and happy to be here.
Shannon, let's start with your Navy service. When and why did you join and what did you do in service?
I joined in 91 between my junior and senior year of high school. I went to my dad and said, I'm not going to go to college. And he said, then you're going in the military. And we went to the recruiter's office and the Navy was the only one in. And so I spent 5.5 years in the Navy as a cryptologist. Only spent time in Norfolk, Virginia. They, at the time, the slogan was join the Navy, see the world. And I went from Kentucky to Virginia. So I think I missed out on something.
Well, you did see a little part of it.
Yeah.
So, you can always write your congressman and complain. You served your time. What have you done since then? I know that you got involved in some local politics, but what else have you done since you got out?
Well, I have, I'm married to a colonel in the Army, and we've gone all over the country and raised our kids, and I've worked as a legislative analyst in the state of Hawaii. I've served as a mayor in two different cities, once in California and again in Wisconsin, and now, fast forward 20 years later, I'm in Washington, D.C., working for Concerned Veterans for America as the special projects manager.
You know, you sound like the right person, because I think one of the philosophies of Concerned Veterans for America is we don't stop serving, and you don't seem to have figured out how to stop serving.
No, I still have plenty of years to go, and it's another way to continue my service and continue serving alongside my brothers and sisters and even my children. You know, all three of my kids serve. My son is deployed. My daughter is in the Marine Corps, and I have another son getting ready to join.
Well, our country needs us to keep serving, and if anybody cares for our country, it's we who have served or are serving. So, yeah, who else do you want on your team? So that's the challenge. Okay, one of your most recent offices you've held was being the mayor of a town that has one of the most notorious VA hospitals in the nation, Toma. Did you have much interaction with the VA hospital when you were the mayor of Toma?
No, just that I knew a lot of the patients there and people that worked there. Obviously, they were in my community. We knew we had a lot of problems with opioids in our
community. You know, I would talk to the police chief, and we created a task force. We didn't know where the opioids were coming from. We just knew we had a significant problem. And for a town of 9,000 people, to see the kind of drugs we were seeing, you know, it was concerning. When we finally were told what was going on, it was with everyone else through the news. You know, there was no special phone call, hey, mayor, you know, this is what's going on at your VA in your community. We woke up one morning and we're watching the news and found out just like everyone else.
Okay, folks, I didn't say this, but it's Tomo, Wisconsin. And the Tomo, Wisconsin VA hospital has been and should be under heavy scrutiny. This is a critical thing, and it's one of the things that Concerned Veterans for America does, is it watches the VA. I do a lot of other things too, but and not just watching, but my recollection is that a couple of years ago, CVA put together a bipartisan study group to come up with recommendations on how to fix the VA. And I think that's unique in the United States. I don't think anybody's ever done that before. I'm right, aren't I? Were you involved then?
I was not involved then, but I do know the health study you're talking about, the healthcare study. We still use it. We still provide it when we're being advocates for our veterans. And it's a very thorough study. You're right. It's one of a kind. And it's actually helped form legislation that's going through the House right now in form of a bill called the Veterans Empowerment Act. And it really addresses a lot of the significant issues that are going on in the VA and finds a way to provide veterans a choice for their health care and allows them to control where and how they get their health care.
Indeed. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing the VA with Concerned Veterans for America's Shannon Ho. So specifically the VA, as I've said, for decades it had been terribly run, and it was a very corrupt organization. And the corruption just surfaced a few years ago, and lip service was paid to cleaning it up. But it seems this past year or so, some real progress has begun. I know that a number of people who should have been fired decades ago have been let go. All that sounds good, but there's so much more to do. In your opinion, and I'm talking corporate you, is there real progress going on? How are we doing? What's going on?
We are definitely making big strides. Back in June of 2017, we were very instrumental in getting the Accountability Act passed, where anyone at the VA, be it top leadership all the way down to someone who works in a local canteen in a VA hospital, if they're not doing their job, they can be fired now. And it's much easier to fire them. And we really pushed hard for that accountability. That way, people that were handing out too many drugs couldn't stick around and collect their retirement. So that was a huge step for the VA. It was a huge win for veterans. And we were very pleased to be there when President Trump signed that bill into law. Right now, going through the House and the Senate is the VA choice legislation. And it's a good fit for the choice program that's already in the law. It gives veterans the ability to choose where they get their care while the VA is still paying for it. If they have a great VA hospital, because we know there are some good VA hospitals out there that are doing a really good job and deserving of veterans attending their hospitals. And then we have those that are failing horrifically. And the ability for veterans to choose where they get that health care is vital. And it's something that we owe our veterans for all of the things they've done in war and the damage that's been done to their minds and their bodies. And to have that choice is absolutely paramount to continuing their service and taking care of them like we've promised. So the legislation going through right now is positive. We're supporting the legislation, the VA choice. It's both House and Senate. There's two versions, and they're working to put them together. And then, of course, the legislation I spoke about, the Veterans Empowerment Act, would be a permanent long-term fix for the VA. And so we're seeing a lot of good things. We're really working hard. We just spent 2 days on the Hill last week. We brought in 15 different directors from our state delegations and did 100 meetings with 100 different congressmen and senators and really had some good meetings and good discussions on where choice needs to go.
So there's a long way to go, but the important thing is that we're on the right path moving ahead. And it sounds to me from what you're saying that that's happening. And I totally agree with you. There are a significant number of VA hospitals and clinics that are doing a wonderful job. I live in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and our VA clinic couldn't be any better. Well, I guess everything has room for improvement, but I mean, it's a great place to go and get served. So mm-hmm. I certainly don't want to throw rocks.
Absolutely. In those hospitals, we want, you know, people to continue to use, our veterans to continue to use those and support the VA where possible. And, you know, there's places that don't have a VA, and having veterans drive that are maybe amputees or elderly and can't handle long trips, when they have a VA that they have to go to that's 3 or 4 hours away, it just makes more sense to allow them to go in their community and still get that care. So that's what we're looking for, and we definitely are seeing a move in that direction.
Just to make sure, as we wrap up this talk, you're not talking about disbanding the VA. You're merely talking about giving more options to people who have to travel, who can't be serviced as fast as they need, right?
Absolutely. We're not looking for privatization. That's not a word we use. We're looking for more choices, allowing for veterans to get the care where they feel is the best for themselves, and still using the VA as much as possible, but using those outside resources when necessary. We've never called for a disbanding of the VA, and nor would we.
And it's another area we agree on. There's more to discuss about the VA, and Shannon's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then take a break, but stay in the area. Shannon and I will be right back. Spartan Nash is committed to supporting our veterans as they transition out of the service back into the workforce. In fact, we were recently named as a certified veteran-friendly employer, emphasizing our commitment to hire, train, and retain those who served our country.
Learn how your skills and experience can be put to use at Spartan Nash and begin your civilian career with us.
Learn more at spartannash.com/careers.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help. Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite. Pick up 2 bottles of LicoChops, get the 3rd bottle free. New improved LicoChops with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E, and now 6 extra direct-fed microbials. Even better for the digestive tract and immune system. And dogs love it. Try LicoChops. Buy 2, get 1 free. This is Henry Lukasevic for Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the 3rd Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Shannon Ho from the Concerned Veterans for America on the topic of the VA. You know, the VA secretary has been under attack of late. I think he's doing a good job, and nobody's perfect. Are his difficulties truly that serious, in your opinion?
You know, we have worked really well with the VA Secretary Shulkin. We've been huge advocates with him. We've done a lot of work together. Our main goal and what we want to do is just get back to working on policy. You know, we were disappointed in the travel issue and how some of that was handled, but our main focus is getting veterans the care that they deserve and continuing to work on that policy and pushing that agenda forward.
And so in your opinion, then, Secretary Shulkin is doing a fine job, and whether he's replaced or not, there's no reason to replace him, but politics is politics. It could happen. What are other kinds of things specifically that we need to know about? How do veterans know if their local facility is doing a good job? Is there some kind of list somewhere? Do you just have to go and find out or talk to other veterans? How would a veteran who's starting to look at the VA make a decision like that?
That's one of the things that Secretary Shulkin has done that we're really supportive of is putting ratings for hospitals on the website for the VA.gov. They have put IG reports on their website that shows, you know, the different reports that are coming out. They've put on their website when people are being fired and what they're being fired for. So he's really taking that accountability that was put into place very seriously. And it's all on the website. They're being very transparent about the reports and about the ratings. And there's plenty of opportunity to see how that VA hospital that patients are directed to go to is doing, and really a chance to see what's going on a pretty transparent level.
Well, that's what we're really looking for in the VA. We want it to be like that everywhere. So it sounds to me like we're seeing the kind of culture we want be established there. Am I close to being right?
Absolutely. You know, it's good to see that you can go on a government website and see a report card, for lack of other words, and know what you're going into. There's still plenty of hospitals that are one stars, and then there's some that are five stars. And, you know, when all of the hospitals reach a level of excellence, then that's going to be a great day. But there's always room for improvement, like you've said. And, you know, we're working hard every day to push for that.
Well, that's really, really good news. It's good to find that sort of thing going on because the VA is a great idea and we need it. And we really need to do something. I wasn't sure when I was looking at this 2 years ago. Everywhere I looked, there was at least indications of corruption, particularly at the highest level. I didn't know it was clean-upable, to use a bad word, but it sounds like it is, and it's moving in the right direction. And yes, there are still a lot of work to do, and yes, there are facilities that need more work than others, but we're moving in the right direction. That's what I hear you say, and that's really good news.
Absolutely, absolutely, and we're happy with the way things are going, and we're out here talking every day on the Hill and doing meetings to make sure that this is on the front page of people's minds, and because we swore to protect and we promised to protect our veterans when they came home, and that's something we believe firmly in and continue working for every day.
Amen, sister, that's for sure. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing the Veterans Administration with Shannon Ho from Concerned Veterans for America. So the VA needs work, but I'd like our listeners to know what they can do to push for improvements here. What can citizens do? Well, one of the things that I like about CVA is that if somebody wants to get active, not just gripe about something involving the government, they can plug into you and you can help them get active individually or in groups or whatever. So talk to us now about how can we citizens, veterans or non-veterans, just patriotic Americans, what can we do through the CVA or some other way to help, encourage, support, move the VA in the positive direction it's going in?
Well, you know, that's one of the great things about being American. We can call our elected officials and hold them accountable and ask them to vote on legislation that we see that needs to be passed or not passed. We have an action center on our website that you can go to and fill out petitions that goes to specific senators or congressmen. You can just call your local elected official. They usually have offices in your local area, and call them and tell them that you want them to vote for VA choice and give veterans a choice on where they get their health care. We have various field offices around the country. We're in over 20 states, and you can contact a local office if you don't know where to look. You know, you always can call our headquarters in Virginia. Our website is concernedveteransforamerica.org, and it has a lot of information on how to contact those legislators and us at headquarters in our various field locations.
Now, CVA is also a 501c3 charity, isn't it?
We're a 501c4.
Okay.
We also have another part, our Concerned Veterans for America Foundation, that we do a lot of educational services in regards to teaching veterans about their benefits and things like that, that is our 501c3. So we have two different sides, and they both work for veterans to help get those policies pushed and to educate communities on veterans care and other issues that we're working across the country.
Well, that's a great thing. And the one thing we need to do is keep our veterans active. Indeed, later on in the show, we're going to talk about veteran service organizations like AMVETS and the American Legion and those groups. But this is another way. Those groups tend not to be politically active. Those who want to get active in the government, Concerned Veterans for America is a very good technique. Shannon, take a minute right now and summarize the couple of key points you'd like our listeners to take from this as we wrap this thing up.
Well, I would definitely, again, thank you for inviting me to talk and encourage everyone to contact their legislators over the next week. You know, VA Choice is going to be going through the House and Senate, and we are looking to have those positive changes where veterans can get care where they believe that's best for them. And that's going to be voted on here soon. We'd like to see it get 100% positive attention, and would hope that everyone would call their legislators and ask them to vote for VA Choice.
Well, thank you, Shannon, for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation back when you were in uniform. Thank you for your whole family service to our nation. It seems like all of them just don't know how to quit. I hope they don't ever. And thank you for what you're doing now. I really appreciate you.
My pleasure, and thank you for your service as well.
Now it's time for our Stand Tall Troop Report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty, and we're privileged to honor this fine troop. U.S. Navy Commander Hen Trinh, whose family fled Vietnam in an overcrowded fishing boat after the fall of Saigon, returned this month on board the aircraft carrier Carl Vinson in the ship's historic port call to Da Nang. Quote, "A Navy ship picked us up, and that's one of the reasons why I'm actually in the Navy," said Trinh, a dentist in charge of the Vinson's clinic. Trinh's return to Vietnam was part of a historic port call. It underscores how the relations between the two countries have changed in the four decades since the war ended. The visit comes after the U.S. takes steps to strengthen its relations with the country amid rising tensions and hostilities in the region, specifically with China. For Trinh, who had returned to Vietnam only once before, a decade ago, to participate in a dental clinic work with his wife, the visit was a time for reflection and pride. Ashore in the land of his birth, Trinh said the bitter aftermath of what the Vietnamese call the American War was subsumed in its efforts of the U.S. and Hanoi to forge a new relationship. Quote, "The people here were incredibly friendly. We had a great welcome from the people of Da Nang. They all knew that the sailors were going to be in town," Trinh said. "They all greeted us with nice smiles and tried to feed us way too much and feed us all kinds of stuff we probably wouldn't have tried unless we were here." After the four-day visit to Vietnam, the first by a U.S. carrier in the 43 years since the war ended, the Vinson and its strike group were back in the South China Sea. Sometimes, Trin said, he goes out on the deck and gazes at the sea, wondering what it was like for his father to take him as a 2-year-old, his 5 siblings and his mother, and venture into those waters on an overcrowded boat when escape was their main goal. That was the year 1975. His father tracked Trin with a lieutenant colonel in the Vietnamese Army. The Americans were leaving. The North Vietnamese Army was closing in to take over. Quote, "We're very proud of him," Trin said of his dad. "Every time I think about it, I just can't imagine the desperation to take a family and just go to sea without knowing what the future holds." Trin doesn't remember the journey, but learns from his family that there were probably hundreds on board the fishing boat designed for 30 to 40. They were rescued by our Navy, and Trin now serves proudly in our U.S. Navy. So stand tall, Commander Trin. Front Lines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour discussing military veterans advocacy. A great group that helps our military community is headed by a Navy vet, John Wells, the guy who refused to receive an award at the Saints game because the NFL permits taking a knee. Then we'll discuss veteran service organizations like the American Legion, VFW, and AMVETS with Faye Green. And of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, go somewhere and run some wind sprints through the snow if necessary. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud to be an American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Sergeant Dale Beatty was wounded by a roadside bomb.
Swift 1-2 is en route with urgent HVAC to Mercy. ETA approximately 35 minutes. How copy?
Now begins the most important journey of his life.
Roger, Swift 1-2.
From the battlefield to home. Home to some very good medicine. His family's love. They'll be staying together at one of the many Fisher houses to help Dale get better and return to his life. Fisher House Foundation provides comfortable housing and other services to the families of wounded warriors and veterans while they receive care at military and VA hospitals. Fisher House is among the highest rated charities, with 95% of donations going to help our military families in their time of greatest need. Remember those who serve and sacrifice. Consider a tax-deductible gift to Fisher House. Fisher House, because a family's love is good medicine. Go to fisherhouse.org for more information.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. There's been an arrest in Washington State in connection with a string of suspicious packages sent to military installations near the nation's capital. The first package was received yesterday at the National Defense University at Fort McNair in Washington. One of the packages did contain explosive material, including black powder and a fuse, but it didn't explode. So far, there's no information as to the motive for the person who has been arrested. Packages were also reported at a number of other bases. No one was injured. Reports say Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has agreed to testify before Congress next month. Lawmakers want answers about user data that ended up in the hands of political consultant Cambridge Analytica. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroots. It doesn't take much for grocery store shelves to go from fully stocked to completely bare. Please don't wait for an emergency to happen to become a victim of chaos and a government that cannot provide. Make sure you have an adequate food storage supply and use My Patriot Supply. These are great folks I've started working with. They've helped me plan for an emergency. I'm here to tell you it doesn't have to be difficult. In fact, with this first step, you can make any crisis seem like an inconvenience. Get each person in your household a two-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. They're only $67. That's it. $67 for 2 weeks of food that lasts up to 25 years. Call now, 888-524-6540, or use the special website, preparewithwayne.com. Preparewithwayne.com. Do it today and prepare so you can feed your family when a crisis strikes. 888-524-6540. 888-524-6540 or preparewithwayne.com.
The Attorney General in Louisiana, Jeff Landry, has ruled out criminal charges against two white Baton Rouge police officers in the fatal 2016 shooting of a black man.
Under the Code of Professional Conduct, the Louisiana Department of Justice cannot proceed with a prosecution of either Officer Lake or Officer Salamone.
Alton Sterling was shot and killed during a struggle outside a convenience store. The death touched off protests. The Justice Department dropped a federal case earlier. Michigan State's investigation into the Larry Nassar